Let's continue. We have a lot of mefarshim here to do. Okay, we're up to page. Let's start again. We did it. Let's get again. Pasuk Aleph. We did so far. Okay, the Rashi. We were middle of the mashal. The mashal. Maybe a little lower. It's a little too high. The mashal of the neshama and the guf. Let's take a look at the biuri hagra. Okay, pasuk Aleph. Vayhi the Rashi el yoinel. Vayhi zohi shashem mishlech es an neshama. So we mentioned yesterday, we concluded yesterday with this example from the Chaim Sanach. He presented the basic Yisodis, the basic Limudim, the purpose of this Sefer, which is unusual, being that Hashem is sending a Navi to the Umma Yisraelam, something we don't have any precedent for, something we don't ever find again. And then we have now, well, the truth is, you know, it's interesting that we may not have a precedent for Hashem sending a Navi to the Umma Yisraelam in the past, but the tradition is, all of the Nevuas for the future with Eliyahu HaNavi is where Hashem does appear to be sending a Navi to the Umma Yisraelam in the future. So in a certain sense, Yonah foreshadows the future, because indeed in the future Hashem will send, again, Eliyahu HaNavi to the Umma Yisraelam. Okay, but Bira Gua says, "Ahid v'ashem al yonah lemah hid zohi shashem mishalech es haneshama la'olam hazeh." Yonah represents the neshama. Nineveh represents the guf. The oimer lo, and Hashem says to the neshama, "Zili beguf pilonya, live in the body of so and so. Va'avad reusi, do my will. Kemosha kosov ba'zoya. Yonah zohi haneshama." K'moisha kasa b'zoyar, shehi ki yoina poisa ein leiv. Hashem, we learned this once upon a time, that the neshama is like a foolish yoina that has no heart. Okay, so yoina, is this a general description, a general characteristic of a yoina? That a yoina is a fool? It's a poisa. Poisa doesn't necessarily mean a fool. It means something, a creature that is easily seduced, easily enticed. It's very vulnerable to being influenced and being swayed from its path. That is the nature of a yoina. Noach, after all of this, we have to go back to the story of Noach and the table. Yoina with Noach, he sent out a yoina. And Yoina went and he came back with an Ale Zayis Taraf Befia. Better my mezoinos come from be bitter like in the bitterness of an olive and not be sweet through Bosor Vedam. So you do see from the story of Noach and the Yoina was very strong-minded. Yoina made a very powerful statement that I don't need you, Yoina. I don't need you, Noach. I'd rather be on my own. But yeah, we have here in Hosea that says Yoina Poisa Ein Lev. Yoina that is Poisa, like a simpleton. The word Poisa, like you say in the Haggadah, the Tam, a simpleton Ein Lev, and that is the nature of the neshama. The neshama is very vulnerable to the influences of this world. The Oitam Achar Kamosh Amru Ma Yoina Kinafecha Maginas. We have another Ma'im Chazal which says very beautiful things about Yoina. The Yoina,
its fullness, the fidelity.
Well, he's saying there are different interpretations. Over here, Yonah, first it says that it's Yonah, Faisa means a simpleton. It has no backbone. You can easily sway, you can easily convince Yonah to do whatever you want.
Maybe by an emotional appeal.
And that's the neshama. The neshama is very, very sensitive. The neshama is very vulnerable to all of the good life, the Yetzirah of Olam Hazeh. So Yonah ben Amittai is nothing more than a mashal for the neshama being sent to this world, being sent to Olam Hagashmi, and it's very dangerous. Okay, let's go further. The Oitam Acher. There's a mile about a Yonah. K'mosh Amu Ma Yonah Kinafecha Maginos. A Yonah has wings, and the wings protect it. And the oit she'ena manacha. Okay, that's another manna. What's that? What does that allude to? It's loyalty.
Right. Right.
That's the wings. That's the imagery of the wings. Okay, so it's wings protected, and therefore that's a mashal for what? For the neshama. The neshama needs to protect itself with the mitzvahs, the tayag mitzvahs. The oich eina menachas ben zuga, that's really the point. That's really the part of loyalty. That's the main thing. Yoina does not abandon its zug. The yoina has a mate. Whatever this means, when a yoina decides that it wants to be loyal to a ben zug, if that ben zug dies or disappears, the yoina will never take for itself another mate. The koch nikreis b'shir ha'shirim yoinasi tamasi, it's loyal. Okay, that's already three mashalim. Yoid shenim seres l'shchita v'ina mifar keses. When a yoina recognizes that it's about to be slaughtered, it doesn't withdraw its neck. For whatever reason, it extends its neck. When a yoina gets a sense that a knife is being put to its neck, it allows itself to die. So what does that say? Ki alecho hiragnu kol hayoyim, that klal yishol, they're not afraid of dying. There's no fear of death when it comes to die al kiddush Hashem. That's really the fourth mashal. Kimoyish amru b'medrash ma hamakos yisraelu. Okay, there's a medrash that talks about Mimema ato nitzlof al shemalti esbini. Why are you allowing a nitzlof al shemalti esbini? Okay, whatever that, I'm not sure what the Mechamayim Chazal there means, but it means over there that a person allows himself to be hung, to be crucified.
Or crucified
for bris milah. Lefichach nikres yoina ben yoina, ben begilgul rishon, ben begilgul sheni, ben betoiva, ben lehepach. That is why it's called a yona. Ben begilgul rishon. What does that mean? Ben begilgul sheni, ben betoiva, ben lehepach. I have no idea what that means. Okay, but in any event, at least we do take away from the grow. The grow opens up over here, wide open. He gives us four different metaphors for the yona. It's vulnerable to the influence of society. Number two, it has wings that protect it. Number three, it has loyalty. And number four, it gives itself over lemisa. And each one of these elements is going to be necessary to understand the depth of what is happening here in this Sefer, in Sefer Yona. Who is Yona? It is not an accident that he's called by the name Yona, because Yona here captures Klal Yisrael. He's a dogma for the neshama, a dogma for Klal Yisrael, which has these four unique qualities. Next, he's called Ben Amitai. Ben Lehakodesh Baruch Hushu Amiti, Kemo Shenemar, Hashem is Emes. Bonim Atem Lashem Elokechem, you are children. He's a child. Okay, he's a child to Hashem. Hashem is Emes. Hashem Elokechem Emes. It's a pasuk. Hashem, we always associate Emes is the Choisom Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first letter, the middle letter, and the last letter. V'chein Oimer B'Zohar, K'mod Is of L'Guf, K'ein Is of L'Neshama. Just like there's a father for the Guf, there's a father for the Neshama, and then the father for our neshama is the Ribbono Shel Olam. We always say this always, that there are two different types of children. That we are called Hashem's children, and the Malachim are called Hashem's children. They're called the Bnei Elokim. Which one of these two children is the firstborn? We, Bini B'chori Yisrael. We are competing with the Malachim, but we are better than the Malachim because we are called the Bechor. How could it be the Rabbanon? Sometimes they paskin a halacha that appears to be not like what Moshe Rabbeinu said. For example, they tell us not to blow shofar on Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah shechal liyos b'Shabbos, we do not blow shofar. They know, I'm not sure exactly what this means over here, but in this Chazal said the point we bring out in this Chazal is that the Rabban are aware that Hashem is Emes. Yoidin beHakadosh Baruch Hu Shamitihu Lufichach LeKizvuloi. Hashem did not lie to Moshe Rabbeinu. They did not lie. Now, how does it apply to the Chazal of Moshe? I don't know. But at least we take out this one point that Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his choysan, his identity is emes. Lamar, that's why he's called here Ben Amitai. Yoina is the child of Hashem. Okay, Yoina is a marshal for the neshama, and the neshama is a child of Hashem. Hashem is the Av of the neshamas. And that's why Hashem in this context is called Amitai Milashoin Emes. Hashem is Emes. Hashem's Choysam is Emes. And the Neshama comes from Hashem. So therefore, we call Hashem here Emes. Leymar, Kol Mash Amalo Hashem Yimah Kol Yeshod Sheyedush Lama Bol Oilam Sheyisak Nikol Echad Yechad Es Atzmai Vegam Kol Oilam. Now, what does the lema here mean? He's saying something very, very deep, which I don't really have. Grows very hard sometimes. Whatever kol ma'ashem le'Hashem yema kol Yisrael, okay, sheyedu lama bohu le'olam, they should know why they came into this world, so that they can be misakin, they can rectify any shortcoming they have in order to prepare themselves for their future. Okay, pasuk beis kum.
Role mission, yeah, which is something that some stress, but not others.
So he was saying, he's saying something also very important. The entire story that we're going to learn about Yonah was all meant that it should be repeated and given over to Klal Yisrael. It should not just remain with Yonah. Pasuk Beis, Kum Lech, get up and go. Kum Mimkoim Chashi Yashavta began Eden. Okay, so again, he's continuing the mashal. Everything here in the Gra is the mashal of the Neshama. The Neshama starts off in Gan Eden. Now that's a chiddush because whoever said that the Neshama comes from Gan Eden? The Neshama comes from a place called Guf. Okay, the world, Mashiach Ulakam Ad Sheyichlu Kol HaNeshama Sheba Guf. Whoever said the Neshama starts off in Gan Eden? Gan Eden appears to be a place where no one ever saw, no one ever went. After Adam and Chava were removed from Gan Eden, no one ever went back in there. So here it's saying something different. The kum mimkum chashay yoshafta big an eden v'lech el ha'olam hazeh, come into this world ninvei hu ha'olam hazeh shehu hadoim raglov, this is Hashem's footstool v'sham novehu, and this is his dwelling. A nove is an abode. So the word ninvei is a marshal for this world. Ninvei comes from the word noveh. Nove means literally an abode. Hashem is telling the neshama, leave Gan Eden, come down to this world. K'mo shenemar b'shuvoy el nin novehu, when he returns to his abode. The kan hu ikur dirasoy, and here is where you're living, you're dwelling. Hashem's dira is in this world. V'al zesh lech es adam l'sakin es novehu. Hashem is sending the neshama in the form of a human being to be misakin, to rectify, to accomplish something in this world. Ho'ir ha'gedoyla, okay, next page, page 404, ho'ir ha'gedoyla, yodua sh'odom v'nikra olam katan. A person is a miniature world. V'nikra ir kitana. He's also called a small city. K'mosh amab koheles, imkein ho'olam nikra ir gedoyla. Therefore, the world is called an ir gedoyla. Isn't that amazing? Since a person is a microcosm of the entire world, and the world and the person is called an ear, a person is called an ear ketana in the pasuk in Kohelas. So you want to go talk about the entire world, the world in the bigger picture of things. Then the world is going to be called an ear gedoyla ukro leha lemoid es adam das. Hashem is sending the neshama into the guf, that the neshama should teach the guf das. What is the das? Sheyashuvu midarkom hara'ah. It is a natural disposition of a guf to do evil. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min urav. Hashem sends the neshama into the guf in order to it to change. K'mo shenemar kol oimer kira. We have another pasuk which says the koil, the voice of Hashem says kira. And the way the gra is understanding this pasuk is similar to what he says in our pasuk, is Hashem is telling the neshama, call out to the guf and tell the guf to change its path in this world, it should perfect itself.
But children are born without a yetzer
hara. Children are born with a yetzer hara. Chazal say beferish, they have it. They're born without a yetzer toiv. The yetzer toiv first comes to a person when he becomes bar mitzvah. The yetzer hara has a 13-year head start. Ki yetzer leiv ha'adam ra min uram. The yetzer hara comes to a person when he is an infant. The moment he comes out of his mother's womb, he first has seichel to realize that he has to control the yetzer hara when he is bar mitzvah. And his entire life he's playing catch-up. Playing catch-up to stem the tide of the yetzer hara. Ki olasa ra'asam lefanai, shamakatrikim shenoldu me'avon nasem oimdim lefanai, the mekatrikim. Okay, the prosecuting angels that are created from the sins of the Jewish people, they stand before Hashem and they cry and they complain. So what exactly has the Be'eri HaGra done? He has elaborated upon what we left off yesterday with the Chaimus Tanach. Chaimus Tanach says that this entire sefer is nothing more than a mashal to the guf, to the neshama, and the guf. Well, first, before he went into that, he gave us four mashalim. We have to keep in mind that the yoina, the bird yoina, there are four important characteristics of a yoina. To review, number one, the yoina is a pesi, is a vulnerable creature. It's very, very delicate. The slightest evil influence can have a very major effect upon it. Number two, the yoina has wings which protect it, seemingly referring to the Torah of the Mitzvahs. Number three, the yoina is loyal. And number four, the yoina is willing to give up its neshama, to give up its life, al kiddush Hashem. So each one of these four elements, we have to try to remember this. And as we go through the Sefer, remember to come back and understand that Yoina ben Amitai, the human being Yoina, the fact that he's called Yoina must mean that he has in his neshama these four unique elements. Okay, that's number one. The second theme was the Gra then went and delved in to this theme, this mystical concept, that the entire Sefer is nothing more than a mashal to the neshama and the guf. The neshama starts out in Gan Eden. Hashem says, leave Gan Eden, go down to Nineveh. Nineveh is a metaphor for Olam Hazeh. It's the Ir Gidoyla. A person is an Ir Kitana. The world is an Ir Gidoyla. And go to Nineveh. Nineveh comes from the word Noveh, an abode. It's Hashem's abode. It's his Hadoim Ragloi. And you're here to influence the guf that it should better itself. Okay, so that's the Gra, and we're obviously going to... Yeah.
There was a line there that you weren't clear about.
Yes.
The explanation here would help. The Kabbalists see here an allegory of the soul, which is sent down to this world to occupy a body and to rectify the world. Not only does it not rectify the world, but it causes deterioration. It is sent again down in the second reincarnation.
Okay, Gilgul Shamas.
It complains of its bitter lot, although this time rectifying what it was sent to rectify.
Wow. So he's saying that in the second Gilgul, it's a bitter existence, but behind the scenes, what it's really doing is it's being sacking what it did in the past. These are dangerous things.
Everyone has to have a Gilgul.
These are very dangerous things. It's a very dangerous game to play. I always tell you that. Stay away from Gilgulim. It's not a healthy thing. It doesn't take you down a good path when you start. We learned, I think it was either in the Radak, either it was the Radak or it was the Ibn Ezra who said, maybe it was the Malbim, I don't remember, a while ago, where he said that Gilgul Neshamas are only for those that are heavily steeped in Yoni Kabbalah. He said, Beferish, the average person, it's not for the average person. And this generation, who we just said that anyone today living today is on a madrega where they are able to deal with these things, understand these concepts. It's not a healthy thing to go down the path of Gilgul. It's Chazal. Okay, we learn about it, but to make it practical,
yeah.
is a, not a good idea. Let's go and take a look at the Ibn Ezra. Okay, there's a long Ibn Ezra. We normally do not do the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is very, very hard. The words, the language of the Ibn Ezra is not easy. Okay, that's why we almost usually do not learn the Ibn Ezra, because you need really to break your head. It's over my head. Let's over here, he has a little Hakdamah, so let's take a look over here to try to decipher what he says. Ibn Ezra on page 403. Ze Hanavi Hisnadi Al Yomim Ben Yoyash. Who is Yoyna? So right away he tells, we've already learned this already a few times, that there's not this first Nevuah. Yoyna already made his appearance. He appeared in Sefer Melachim. In Sefer Melachim he gave over a prophecy that this fellow by the name of this Melech, by the name of Yoram and Yoyash, will succeed in waging war against the enemies of the Jewish people and taking back land that was stolen from them. Zehanavi hisnabe al Yoram ben Yoyash lichin kosov itzis Melachim asher diber Hashem biyad avdoi Yoyna ben Amitai asher migas hachefer, who comes from Gas hachefer, which we said is from the Shevet Zvulun. Fine. So now we know. Yesh lo tamaya. Eich yale al alev chacham. Sheyeda Hashem umasav. Sheyach shev levrech mipanav. Okay, the question of Sefer Yoyna. What is the question front and center, which we spent a lot of time on yesterday in the Malbum? How can Yoyna disobey the command of Hashem? Hashem told Yoyna to go. And Yoyna says, nope, I'm not going. How can that possibly be? So according to most of the Farshim, yeah, a human being has Bechira Chafshis, even a Navi has the ability to disobey a direct order. And Yoyna did this l'shem Shomayim. He was willing to give up his neshama because he realized if he would succeed in this mission, it would be a kidroig against Klal Yisrael, according to all the different understandings that we spent time on. According to the Malbum says something very, very fascinating. He says, no, there are two different types of shlichus. There's a shlichus where Hashem puts a direct message, an exact message in your peh, and then there's a general shlichus. Go to Nineveh and take a look and see what's doing. Maybe you can make a tikkun. But Hashem did not tell him yet that there is a gezar din, that they will be destroyed. Hashem did not put in his peh exact words. The second message that was precise, there is no way a Navi can get out of that. Navi, that is Kodesh, es nivu asoy chayiv misa. But the first mission, which is what is presented here, where it's a general demand to go on a mission, to give Musar, according to the Malbum, yes, a Navi has a right to disobey. It's a sin, but it's something which he can still do. The other...
In Moshe, at the snatch.
Excellent point. Moshe Rabbeinu as well also refused for 7 days. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem was arguing with Moshe for 7 days straight. And at the end, Moshe still refused. Moshe won. I'm not, so Hashem says, fine. I will send Aaron. Aaron ochicha yihye nivi'acha. And Moshe regretted that deeply later on.
Yeah.
Okay, he lost out. But you're right, you're saying very, very good. Moshe refused. And Moshe succeeded in refusing to a degree. He regretted it, but he did refuse. Well, so
I don't understand the concept of saying he has a right. Everybody has a right. You have bechira no matter what the situation.
But a Navi is different. That's exactly the point. A Navi, that's what we're grappling with. We don't know what a Navu is. But there is obviously the fact that this question is posed, that all the commentators indicates, is that a Navi is different. A regular person has Bechira Chofshis. Because a regular person, that's the purpose of this world. You're in a world of Hesterponim. Hashem is not speaking to you. So you can do whatever you want. You have to have a Muna. But a Navi doesn't have a choice. A Navi is not living in this world. A Navi has a direct communication to Hashem. You don't have a choice. It's a different existence. That's the premise.
Have a choice. You're saying that he literally, physically,
yeah,
his body and mind are taken over by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he doesn't even have the ability to...
Well, we don't know what Navu is, but that is the question. The assumption is yes. The assumption is that a Navi is not subject to the rules that we play by.
Right.
Because his body is taken over. So how do we find over here that the Navi over here is coming to reject Hashem's command? And so far we've learned that no, you're making a mistake. Even though a Navi indeed has a different existence and his body is taken over, he's totally under the control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's a puppet, yet there is an element in a Navi where he has Bechira Chafshis to a degree, and that was the Malbim and the other Mepharshim. That's the answer. The answer is, yeah, so far we've learned that, yeah, a Navi does have, it's not like we think.
Putting him in the same league, let's say the Rambam says that angels and Malachim also have Bechira.
Oh, so very good. So the question is a Navi worse or better than a Malach? Does a Malach have Bechira? So we learned the answer is, we have conflicting Mamari Chazal.
The Rambam says yes.
The Malach.
He says, he gives a whole list, and he says the problem is, you're sitting in a principal's office, what is the chances that you're going to do something wrong? You're sitting next to Hashem. That's why the Ishim are subject, the ones who came down by Sodom. That's where they get into it.
Because there the Malach says, I will destroy Sodom. Nachnu.
They
were punished. So you see that there is an element of Bechira. What about
once
the Teva?
Far away, they're in a different league.
What about nature? What about the sun and the moon? Does the sun have Bechira Chafshis? Can the moon decide one day, you know what, I'm not going to orbit the earth. Enough of this already. I'm tired of this. I want a break.
Well, they're a domain. I mean, basically.
But so what?
Lo
Yishbos, that's Hashem's command. Hashem told them, how do you learn the Pshat and the Pasuk? Do you learn Lo Yishbosu? Is that what it means?
Yeah, or, unless
okay,
Hashem,
we hope so.
Whatever happens, this course, he did it.
It's not so simple. When it says Lo Yishbosu, some commentators understand this to mean it is a command. I'm telling you, Lo Yishbosu. But you have free will.
We call it the laws of nature.
No, but that wasn't in reference to the sun and the moon. That was in reference to the earth rotating.
All the laws of nature. But yeah. We also have Taryag Mitzvah. And look how many times we're in violation. So what about the sun and the moon? What about Teva? Are they obligated do they have an ability, if they so wish, to deviate from the laws of nature? Kriyas Yamsuf. So Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem told the Yam split. What do you mean? You're telling me to split? I'm not a creature. You're in control here. From the words of Chazal, it seems to be, I mean, you could argue this back and forth, is that every element in this world is a living organism which has free will. It just happens to be that they're better than us, is that the laws of nature and Malachim generally never ever deviate. They follow Hashem's command. But if they so wish to violate the law, like we have that ability, they can do so. They just don't. At least we don't see them. Is that the correct approach to understand how the world works? Or saying, like Rabbi Chol trying to say, no such thing. Nature is nature. Don't compare nature to human beings. Don't compare nature to Malachim. These are the biggest mysteries of the world to understand how these things work. But in any event,
if the first coin to the Malachim, the first one was optional,
it wasn't optional.
Why would Hashem?
No, he's not saying it's optional. No, we're not. He didn't say it was optional. It was a command, but it was in the category of a command that a Navi can disobey. He has the ability, the physical ability to disobey. The second prophecy, which comes in Perek Gimel, his body and mind were taken over, and he just doesn't have the ability to disobey.
Between them, or he decides, I don't want to do this, and he's running, he goes to the Yam, because you know it's going to be us, it's not going on the Yam, according to the Malbim. I understand, but then why did Hashem, after he runs away the first time, what did Hashem say? We're getting out of this. Let him go.
No, Hashem wants. That's all part of the mystery of what's going on in the Sefer. It's all part of the mystery. What is this all about? So we learned, really, all the commentators, they touched upon that question to a degree and said, it's teaching us how valuable, how meaningful it is for a person to do teshuvah. And Hashem will go to the most extreme measures to influence man to do teshuva, even a non-Jew. And here we're finding supernatural things, both in miracles occurring and in Hashem's extending of himself and Hashem's breaking of the rules in order to recruit a leader to influence man to do teshuva, because it means so much to Hashem. These are all major issues. But the premise here of the Ibn Ezra's question, which is the premise of everyone's question that we've started with in this Hakdama, is that a Navi is not playing by the rules of the common man. A Navi is living in the presence of Hashem. He is not subject to Bechira Chofshis. And if Hashem tells a Navi to do something, it's like nature. That's what's going to happen. And yet, this Sefer is shocking in that a Navi is not abiding by Hashem's command. How can that possibly be? This is the question. Let's see his take on it. So he says, V'yesh lot moya, eich yale alev chocham, sheyeda, how could it ever happen to a wise man, referring to Yonah, sheyeda Hashem masav, had Yonah is obviously a Navi, he knows about Hashem and all of Hashem's deeds, sheyach shoy, that he can have a havamina, livroyach mipanav, to run away. V'hu biyodoy v'akol molek vodoy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he who biyodoy, the Navi, is in the hands of Hashem, V'akol mole kivoidoy. The whole world is full of Hashem's honor. There is no escape. V'eich yisnabe moire. How could yisnabe moire pi Hashem? How can the yisnabe moire pi Hashem? I don't know what that means. To rebel?
Yisnabe is the problem.
V'eich moire. As I told you, the words of Ibn Ezra have a different language. It's a very...
prophecy and yet go against
the way of Hashem. V'ukasav ki hu avdoi. Okay, but he's Hashem's servant. So the Hagoyin Amar, who is the Goyin? I don't know. You have to know, be familiar with Ibn Ezra, know who he refers to. Ki holach el ninve v'kor oleho. V'lo hiske ze akasav. K'mo kir en lo v'yoychal lechem. The answer is, he did go. We're missing a major chunk of the story. Okay, it's an awesome chiddush. Just like we find in Sefer Shemois, where Yisroel says to his daughters, go to Moshe, kiren lo, call out to him, and tell him to marry one of you, to marry Tzipora. Does the pasuk go on to say, and Tzipora and her six sisters went to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they had a conversation with him, and Tzipora says, will you marry me? And Moshe said, yes. And they got married, and they lived happily ever after. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. All it says is the beginning of the story. The beginning of the story is Yisroel discovers that there's an available bachur. The best boy in Lakewood has arrived in Midian, and he says to his daughters, "Kiren loy, go out on a day with him. V'yoychal lechem, and we'll have sheva brachas. We'll eat some bread." And the pasuk does not go on and tell us what happened. But from the context of the story, it appears that they did go out into the field, to the well, and have a conversation with Moshe. And they asked Moshe if you would like to eat bread, which means, would you like to live with us and marry me? V'chulu v'chulu. So likewise here, even though it does not tell us all of the details, we have to assume... that if Yonah is a Navi, and Hashem told Yonah to do something, he did it. He did it. He went to Nineveh. He went to Nineveh, and he got up, he made an announcement, you guys better shape up. So now what happened? What happened was, Hashem wanted him to do it a second time. In other words, he did it. Kum lechel Nineveh. He did it. But after he did it, he ran away. It makes a lot of sense then, because then in Pasuk Gimel, Vayokom Yoina Livroyach Tarshisha, to run away. Where is Yonah running away from? So until now, all of the commentators are telling us, well, Yonah never went. So he's running away from wherever this conversation is taking place. Hashem is speaking to Yonah. Where is this conversation taking place? We don't know. maybe it took place in Gas HaChefer. The only place that we know that Yonik lived was in this place called Gas HaChefer, which is in the portion of Zevulun. So let's assume he had a little hut in Zevulun, in the Chelik of Zevulun. Hashem came to him in Zevulun, told him, I'm sending you on a mission. And Yonik gets up and he runs away from Gas Zevulun. According to the Ibn Ezra, that's not what it means, Levroyach. And in fact, maybe the word Levroyach is not the right word. If you are at home and someone comes and knocks on your door and says, I have a mission for you, Mission Impossible. Will you accept the mission? It will self-destruct in 10 seconds. Here's the mission, and you decide no. Is it correct to use the word, I don't want them to bother me again, so I'm going to run away, livroyach. Is that the correct word? Maybe it is, but maybe not. Something, libi oimer li, that it's not the right word. If someone comes knocking on your door and says, I want you to... I'm collecting for a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, for a koil in Eretz Yisrael. Can you give me a donation? I say, I'm sorry, I don't have any more money to give. I gave you all my money, but I'm sorry, I can't give you a donation. And then you see him coming down the block again. Is it the correct word? You're going to run away from your house so he should not bother you again? Is that the correct word? I don't know.
That's
maybe.
That's why the Mepharshim are talking about that he thought perhaps the Shekhinah wouldn't follow him in the Chutzlars.
Okay, but is the word Levroyach the correct word?
Because he was home.
Right. If you are in your comfort of your home, and so knocks on your door, and is badgering you every single day, please give me money, 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 and you don't want to give them money, and you don't want to be bothered, so you know what, I'm going to go away for Pesach. I am going to go, because I don't want them every single day to bother me for a donation, so I'm going to go to Orlando for Pesach. Is it called livroyach? Is that the correct word? You're running away?
You're fleeing because...
Maybe, yes. But libi oimer li, it's not the right word. If someone is coming and soliciting money or asking you to do something in the comfort of your own home and you don't want to be bothered and you want to just go away somewhere so they should not see the lights on and bother you, I don't know if you would use the word livroyach, but
avoiding the situation.
You're avoiding the situation. There are better words. There are better words. But if it means like what the Ibn Ezra says, that Yonah, listen, Hashem says, I have a mission. Will you accept? Yes, I accept the mission. He puts on his gear, high-tech gear, and he goes to Nineveh. And he starts the mission. And he begins the mission. And the mission goes into effect. And then he realizes, this is not good. It's not good. I'm not going to succeed. I've done. You can't say I wasn't yoytze. I was yoytze yidei chayvasoi. There are many ways to do a mitzvah. You can do it l'mahadrin, and you can do l'mahadrin and l'mahadrin. Was I yoytze b'diyaved? I went to Nineveh. I made an announcement. I spoke to them. Yes. No one can say I wasn't yoytze the mitzvah of giving over my nevuah. But I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be mamshech. I'm getting out of here. Now, libi oimer li, the word livroyach fits. I'm here. I'm in a danger zone. I'm not in the comfort of my own home. I'm in a dangerous place. I'm doing the mission. I've done the mission. There would be a hiddur in me doing the mission, in doing the mission even better. Now, So Sylvia on the phone. No, it's good. Give him a novi. Take out a novi from the shelf. Put it on. So the word levroyach is an appropriate word. It's not so far fetched. It's not so far-fetched. See, the word seemingly has more of a flavor if you learn like the Ibn Ezra. He listened. He went on the mission. She wanted to run away. So let's continue. Page 403.
When you have it like this, the way it starts out is that they've had conversations previously. So when this is Palm Shanis or Palm Shlishis, they've had conversations previously. Otherwise, that would be his immediate reaction. It's like when God is calling Shmuel and he says, you know, what do you want, God? I mean, this is a new experience. How does this work? They've had relationship.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. The Ibn Ezra is saying there's a lot more that's going on behind the scenes than you can imagine. Now, Vani Oimer. Now. What?
Yeah.
Right, but I'm going to tell you, there are many words. That's the point I'm making. Where are you located where was he located when he ran away? If you were writing this story, and you write the story according to the parish that we've learned so far, according to Rashi, to the Stavid, and the Radak, and the Malbim, and the Gra, and the Chaim HaSanach, all of these comments that we learned so far, and you writing the story without seeing any, and you say Hashem comes to Yonah, he's sitting on his porch in the middle of Eretz Shol in the area of Zvulun, and he's learning the Daf Yomi, and all of a sudden Hashem appears to him and Hashem says, "I have a mission for you," and Yonah says, "I don't want to do this mission. I'm going to Orlando. Hashem's not going to find me there." Would you, in your vocabulary, use the word vayivrach?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe yeah, maybe not.
By Yaakov, when he fled from Laban, he saw that
he was in danger.
Yeah.
So vayivrach. Yeah. Oh, but let me ask you now. Let's say you're writing the story according to the Ibn Ezra. Hashem comes to Yonah. Yonah have a mission. Will you accept? Yes. He packs up. He goes to Nineveh. Nineveh gets up on top of the mountain. He makes the announcement: "Rabbi Yisai, Hashem is going to destroy you all. You all goners." And then he sees,
but
you know.
Accepted.
No, that's what Ibn Ezra says. He did accept it.
Well, where does he get that from?
Because we said kiren. Because that's how we started. We just spent 20 minutes on this. Because it says kiren lo v'yoych alechem. That's what we just spent. Hashem told him to do the mission. Kum leich el Nineveh ho'ir hagil ukuro leha. If Hashem tells you to do something, you do it. You don't have a choice. You do it. And, but it doesn't say that he did it. Well, does it say that the daughters of Yisro went to Moshe and spoke to Moshe and told him, "Come, let's eat bread"? The Torah just gives you the Rosh Perakim. Yisro discovered that there's someone called Moshe. He said to his daughters, "Kirenlo, go out and speak to him. V'yoychalechem." Does the Torah say, and the daughters of Yisro, they listened to their father's instructions, they went out to the well, and they saw Moshe sitting there, and they said to him, "Our father said you should come into our house and eat bread"? Does it say that in the Pasuk? Does it say that the daughters of Yisro listened to their father and went out into the field and did? Doesn't say. Did they do that, what their father instructed them to do? They certainly did. They did. But it doesn't say it in the Pasuk.
Okay.
So why doesn't it say it in the Pasuk? Why doesn't it say it? Why doesn't it say it in the Pasuk? Answer that question. Why doesn't it say in Parashas Yisro that the daughters of Yisro listened to their father and they went out to the well and they said to Moshe, "Moshe, our father said that we should say to you, eat bread with us"? It doesn't say those words? It does not.
Because Moshe came.
So what Moshe came? Moshe came before. Moshe comes to the
well. Goes on to tell the story that he was there.
But does it say this part of the story? Does it say that part of the story?
No.
It doesn't say.
So,
no, it's not that much different. Ibn Ezra is coming to say that there's no difference. The Torah only... Ibn Ezra is saying this.
You can argue with him.
Of course you can argue with him, and that is why everyone does argue with him. That is why Rashi and the Mitzudos and the Chaim HaSanach and Wilson Wheeler, we learned the Bir Hagra. And who else did we learn? The Malbim. Okay, five people do argue with the Ibn Ezra. But hear out what the Ibn Ezra says. Because the Ibn Ezra, what he's saying, answers a lot of other questions. And the fact it answers the most fundamental question, which everyone really has a tzarech in gadol, and everyone is struggling. And that is, if Hashem tells a Navi to do something, you don't do it? You don't do it? Everyone is telling you these chidushim. Yonah was such a holy person, he was willing to sacrifice his neshama for Klal Yisrael. Or, first, what does that mean? These are very nice words. But the bottom line is, Yonah is a Navi, and Hashem tells him to do something, you do it! Where do you get all this romantic life of giving up your neshama for Klal Yisrael? This is something that we're brainwashed. We're brainwashed.
Right.
With these type of ideas, but these ideas are so lofty that it may be true, not coming to deny, and certainly Elu the Elu are elements of every of truth in everything, but the Ibn Ezra is asking a very basic question. This doesn't make a bit of sense. Hashem tells a Navi to do something, a Navi does it. So how come, how could he run away? So the Ibn Ezra is something shocking. He did it! Of course he did it! Hashem told him to do it. What's Hava Amino? Could it be that he did not do it? Oh, you'll ask me. You'll ask me. But it says doesn't say that he did it. No. You don't understand what happened. He did it. He went there. He was Mekayim the mitzvah de Oraisa of Achilas Matzah. Okay? But not with the shear of the Mishnah Berurah. Not the big shear. The Chazonish shear. The Chazonish is the smallest shear of Kezias and the Chofetz Chaim. Not the bigger. He was Mekayim, the small shear. He gets up on the mountain and he tells Nineveh, you know, Hashem sent me. He's going to destroy you because you're a bunch of Rishoyim. And he sees they're not interested in listening. He sees it's business as usual. He gets a sense that it's not in the best interest of Klal Yisrael. So he says, listen, was I Yotzei the mitzvah deraisa? Yes. I'm done. Goodbye. I don't want to stick around here because this is a very dangerous place for a Navi to live in a city of wicked people. Mm-hmm. They'll kill me. They wanted to kill Yirmiyah. The Jews wanted to kill Yirmiyah. You can only imagine the Goyim will kill me in 1 second. So Yoina says, I've done b'di'evet, I was Yoitzei, vayivrach. He flees. The word vayivrach in I don't know, I'm just saying on my own, Libi Oimer Li is a word that is used more when you're in a danger zone. When you're in a dangerous place, the word Vayivrach is the correct word. Yonah, without any question, in the middle of Nineveh, a Jew, a Navi, who's preaching, you're all going to die tomorrow because you're all a bunch of Rishoyim, and he's Jewish, and they're Goyim, and we're at a time now when Ashur is in the process of exiling the Jewish people. It doesn't take much to realize that your life is hanging on a thread. And the word Vayivrach makes a lot of sense. If Yonah, like Rashi, and the Mitzudos, and the Malbim, and the Radak, and everyone else is sitting in the comfortable porch in what's in that place called Gas Chorush, whatever that was placed, that where he lives in the Chelik of Zevulun, and Hashem comes and Hashem says, Yoina, maybe you can give a few dollars for most chitim. Maybe give a donation. And Yoina says, I'm overextended. I'm sorry. My credit card is all maxed out. I'm sorry. And Yoina now says, you know, Hashem may come back tomorrow and ask me for another donation. So maybe I should go on vacation so I shouldn't be bothered. So Yonah picks himself up, he gets on a plane, he goes to Orlando. Is the correct word Vayivrach? Maybe, obviously Rashi and the Mitzudos and the Radak and the Malbim and the Bir Hagra and the Chaim Sanach say, yeah, that's the right word. It is the right word.
When he says Pam Shein, when they say Pam Shein is...
Okay, that's later.
No, what I mean is, does that mean go back and do the job correctly?
Oh, maybe. In a chanami, you'll have a whole... Everything...
If the heart wasn't in it, then I want you to do it right.
Everything is going to swivel. Everything's going to change. Libi Oimer Li, that the word Vayivrach is not necessarily the best choice of words.
The Pasuk talks about the sun and the moon, let's say, doing what God's bidding, or they have some sort of ability not to, is Hayom Rav Ayanos, in a way. It doesn't say that God... In other words, when they Aronoshul, it gives you the impression from those words that the Yam had
Vayonos, not Vayivrach.
Right.
Different word.
Hayom Ra Vayonos.
Vayonos.
It was up to the Yam to do it.
Vayonos. See. So maybe the better word would have been Vayonos, according to Rashi. Vayonos. Vayonas, Yoina. Vayonas Yoina, Vayonas Yoina, he ran away. But that's not what it says, Vayivrach. Vayivrach is a word which has a connotation of danger. If he,
when it's first used in the Torah, it's used when Hagar leaves Sarah.
She was in danger. She was in danger.
She wasn't in danger. She was in an unpleasant situation. What kind of danger was she in?
Vayivrach. Okay. I don't know. I didn't think this through. I did not think this through. Okay, I'm just throwing out an idea. I did not think it through. Maybe yes, maybe not.
By
Yavo Apolit. By Lova, by Yaakov, there it fits very well. By Yivrach Yaakov, Yaakov ran away.
When he runs from Lova, but when he runs away from Esau previous to that, is Rivka says, Kum Barach Lecha.
Barach.
Kum Barach Lecha Lavona Chi Chorona.
So that's the same word. Barach, you're in danger. He's going to kill you. He's going to kill you. Okay.
Then he's running.
Okay, you're right. I'm just thinking out loud together with you. The Ibn Ezra is saying something that is really fascinating. And what he's saying answers the advantage of what he says, answers the most fundamental question. How can a Navi disobey a direct order? The most important thing in life is to obey. To obey orders. Like, you know, they had a whole thing, this whole thing in Lakewood where Talmidim, when the skull and whatever was Nifter. So there's a yeshiva lake with high school boys. They told the boys, do not go to the Levaya. We do not want you going to New York, to Brooklyn, to traveling 2 hours back and forth, unsupervised, to go to the Levaya. I don't know all the details. It's very sketchy what happened exactly. And there was a major out, and the boys, they disobeyed the command of their of the school, of the administration, of the Rebbeim, and they went to New York, to the Levaya of the Sklon Rebbe. Famous in the news. The whole world was an uproar that how could the yeshiva tell the boys that came back, they told them, you're expelled. We're throwing you out of the yeshiva for disobeying an order. Give you an order, and you disobey the order. So there's a whole big outcry, So the first thing, I mean, at least in my book, I'm not going to tell you all the nonsense that you can read about, is if you want to have a discussion, the discussion is only concerning the Rebbeim. If they made the right decision by telling the boys to go and not to go. But the boys, in any event, deserve to be expelled because they disobeyed. They disobeyed. So maybe you want to shut down the yeshiva because the Rebbeim, you want to fight with the Rebbeim if what they did, their instructions are correct or not correct. Fine. But as far as the students are concerned, a high school boy, you have an obligation to obey orders, no matter whether you like it or not. You want to appeal the decision, so go to a higher authority, but you're given a command, a direct order, you follow the order. You have no right, a student, a high school boy has no right to disobey a direct command and expect that he should, everything is going to be fine and good.
Well, you know, that's been a major
in the army.
For example, the Nazis are much
more. Well, you can't bring a riot from murder. You can't bring...
Where do you draw the line?
Okay, you're saying, good, we're talking about, it's very, no, again, when it comes to the army, the IDF, to expulsion. Right, there was a big thing when they told the soldiers to go into Gaza, right, and you're going to participate in the expulsion of Jewish people. How could you go and take and give up land that belongs to Jews? And there were rabbanim that were screaming at shalei kahalacha, shalei kedin, and indeed there were soldiers that disobeyed, and they were severely punished. And that you're right. Where do you draw the line? But something like this, something like we have a high school boy. It's not the role of, I'm just giving you a very, it's not the role of a boy in ninth grade, or 10th grade, to go and enter the world of halacha and travel dangerously by himself to New York. That's not your business. That's not for him to tell. He was told not to go, so you don't go. You want to go talk to the Rebbeim, you should arrange for them transportation and do this and that. That's a separate issue. You're given a command, you do the command. I used to teach computers, and I would give assignments in programming, and I would tell them, this is the data, this is the input data, and I'm giving you an assignment. I want you to take the data, and I want you to create a program where the program accepts the data and produces a result. And some of the students would write the most amazing code when you take the data and produce incredible results, the only problem was, it's not what I asked you to do. I asked you to go from A to B. You're going from A to Z. I asked you for something very, very specific. Even though you're showing off and you're demonstrating your incredible programming skills, but you did not do what you're supposed to do. Follow the orders. Yonah is given Yadus, the most elementary thing in Yadus is to follow orders. If there's no following of orders, then there is no authority, there is no law. It is the most elementary thing in any society, in any army, in any system of justice. And here, we're dealing with something that we just take this for granted because we're so brainwashed. We're so brainwashed about Sefer Yonah. Yonah is a Navi, the holiest Jew in the world, and Hashem tells him to do something, and he says, get lost, Hashem, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. You tell me to do something, I don't care. Goodbye. This is Yonah. This is not your average guy in the street. He's a Navi. He made it into the Chof Dal Sivri Tanakh. So the Ramban, all the ones who was right is the Ibn Ezra's right. Says if the Pasuk says that Yonah was told to do something, the first thing you have to assume is he did it. Don't go say, oh, he didn't do it. Oh, but it doesn't say that he did it. Well, when Hashem told the daughters, when it says there, the same exact expression, Kiren lo, go call out to Moshe, v'yoychal lechem. Did they do it? Well, they certainly did it. And that was a human being. This was Yisrael, and it was Yisrael's daughters, and they did it. Does it say in the passage that they did it? No. But did they do it? Yes, they did do it. So here also, what's the problem? It says, Ha'kom lech el Nineveh, ho'ir ha'gedoyle, ukro leha. Go and speak to them. Ki also rasam lefonoi. The pasuk has to go tell us that he did it. Of course he did it. So what then is the next pasuk? I don't know why you're having a hard time with this. Let's go further. We have to go further. Wait.
The case of the disobeying of Yonah is not similar to disobeying of Shaul to go to kill the Amalekim.
There, no, it's not similar. Because there, yeah, it is and it's not. Because there he did the basic mission. He did do the basic mission. But he made a mistake in the details. He did the mission. He did the mission. He risked his life. He risked his life. He went out to war. War is
disobeying.
He did the mission. He did the mission. It's just the details.
Incomplete.
Here he is disobeying a direct order. The Ibn Ezra says that cannot be such a thing. And therefore it has to be that he did it. And when the Pasuk doesn't have to tell you the details, and therefore Pasuk Gimel has a new meaning, Vayokom Yoina Levrech Tarshish means after he did the mission, he fled. And I'm suggesting the word Levroyach now fits in much, much better according to the Ibn Ezra than according to everyone else. Because the word Levroyach, I'm suggesting, generally has a connotation, you're in a danger zone. And therefore, if Yonah is in the middle of Nineveh, surrounded by Goyim, who are Rishoyim, who want to kill us, and how do we know? Because they did. Because they came, they exiled the whole Asher. The Asher exiled the whole Klal Yisrael. They wanted to destroy Yerushalayim as well. And you're there and you're telling them words of gloom and doom. What do you think? They're going to let him live? And now he did it. Enough. Livroyach. If Yonah never even went to begin with the word Livroyach, it's okay. Everyone accepts it, but some reason.
But he didn't say why he didn't want to go.
So it could be why? What do you mean? Why we learned yesterday?
He just said, "I'm not going."
We learned yesterday, like five perushim, why he didn't want to go yesterday. He did not want to go. We can't go over it again. Yesterday we went through all the farshim why he disobeyed. What was his thinking? Okay, we can't repeat that. We learned yesterday, everyone in the Farshim gave another angle of why, a very powerful reason of why he chose to disobey the direct order. The Ibn Ezra disagrees, you cannot disobey a direct order, he did it. Let's go further for another minute. Running out of time here. So it says here that he indeed went now. The back of the Ibn Ezra page, back of the Ibn Ezra page 403. Va'ani oimer ki ein ze k'moy ze. Okay, so this is what he says over the Ibn Ezra in the name of a Go'in Omar. Who is this Ga'oin? I do not know. I'm not all that familiar with Ibn Ezra. I very rarely learn Ibn Ezra. Every one of the Rishonim has a Rebbe and has a Masorah. And if you know their life and you know their writings, you're familiar with the writings and you know the code words. When they say Hagoin, I know exactly who he is referring to. Like Yifon the Radak always calls him his father. He calls him the Barbanel. Every one of the Rishonim had their Masorah. Rashi quotes from his Rebbeim. There are a few different people that Rashi always mentions, his Rebbeim. Likewise, this idea that we've just concluded comes from this Ga'oin. Now, Vani Oymer, Mr. Rapport, you can be very happy what he says now. Vani Oymer, ki ein ze kumoy ze. Not so. I don't like it. I don't like it. Stiff, you can't compare it to the case of Kriyan Levyo. You can't compare it. Ki ein tam lahaskir im ochal, im loy ochal. How can you compare the case here to the case of Tzipora? Tzipora, whether Moshe ate bread, didn't he? What's the big deal? He ate bread as pas palter, pas akor, pas yisrael. He liked the bread, pumpernickel bread, rye bread. What difference does it make if he ate the bread, didn't eat the bread? It's not, the world does not sway, it's not going to swivel on this decision. Im loy karu loy rak pogaboy v'dibri mo, it doesn't make a difference. But here, it makes a world of a difference. If Yonah did go to Nineveh and gave them Musar, if Yonah milei devar Hashem, lama hoya bareach, if Yonah did, in fact, milei devar Hashem, lama hoya bareach. In other words, this idea that I explained in the Goin is that Yonah went and he did it with a half a heart. He was yoytzei. I was yoytzei dechayvasei, and now I'm out of here. I'm running away. Why? Why do you want to differentiate? Many people are perfectionists. Many holy people is, if you do something, you do it right. If you're going to do it already, you go all the way. Hashem told me to go to Nineveh. So according to the Goin Echad, he did it. No, I was yoytzei. I wasn't yoytzei the biggest shear. I was yoytzei the small shear, not the big shear. Yoytzei, enough, levroyach. Really? Is that the way you do something? When you accept upon yourself to do something, you do it b'shleimus. You don't do it halfway. So how then can he say he only went halfway? Alkein, Kidamti Livroyach Tarshisha, I have got up early to run away. Later on he says Kidamti. Kidamti means of early in the morning. Zrize Makdimim. If Yoina did the mission partially, he seems to be saying the Ibn Ezra, the word Kidamti is a little bit too much. Preceded. Kidamti in this context means like early in the morning, very early, right away, Kidamti, which has a kind of, he did not even do the mission. He immediately ran away to Tarshisha. So therefore, if the Ibn Ezra is now coming to go and reject the Ga'oin Echad, so the question is reinstated. How then can a Navi disobey a direct order? So he's coming to ask the question, the Jewish answer the question, the Jewish way. What's the Jewish way to answer a question?
With a question.
What about Moshe? Someone mentioned this. Moshe Rabbeinu, he ran away. Hashem by the snares recruited Moshe. Moshe says, no, I'm not going. I'm not interested. Even though Yonah ultimately went. So Moshe was worse. Moshe, so that's why I told you, the words of Ibn Ezra are very, very cryptic. The Avki Yoina Sheyelech Lahoshev Ninveh, even though Yoina, by going to Ninveh, Nusachach Lahoshev Es Amshis Amor, the Kocha Omru Chazal Shetova Kivoid Habein. So what is he saying by Moshe Rabbeinu? One more time, these words. The Avki Yoina Sheyelech Lahoshev Ninveh, Moshe Rabbeinu Lahoshev Es Amshis Hashem Oitzi Amoy, the Avki Yoina Sheyelech Lahoshev Ninveh, even though Yoina ultimately did go. Okay, so he's basically answering. This is the problem with the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is written on a very, very sophisticated level, which there's a lot of words which require a lot of hesbet. That's why I always shy away from learning. And here is just a classic example to try to piece together his words. But the basic gist of what he seems to be saying is that we're going to answer this question with another question. Look, Moshe also did not go, or did not want to go. And that just makes the question even greater. And to that, he's now going to give us his answer. The Ata Ermois L'chosoid. I'm now going to give you a secret that's going to answer these questions, which we're going to have to leave Mir Tashem for tomorrow. To be continued.
My thought process is the Rebbe was Ezra
Bin.
That thing is Avraham Ben Meir Ben Ezra. I'm wondering if it's his grandfather. I understand the same word, I think.
Possibly not going to be up to my yard sale. Going to be based on the value of the sheep in the Ashbury. Miriam had all this with the one day.
I'm going to put it in my safer so I should see it.
25th yard sale. My father's yard sale next year.
Maybe you shouldn't have an aliyah.
Meanwhile, that first day, the doctor wants us to sign
That's why you need the gun.
Enjoy.
Mark is going to be home. Shot with Mark and Fiona.
Mark isn't going anywhere.
What?
Mark is going to be home. Just hope he'll be well enough to.
How's he doing?
Huh?
How's he doing?
He's had to rest a lot.
Just to add to what you're saying, I wanted, it's a little bit off track, but with Avram Avinu, the Nevi'ahs of Avram,
yeah,
he could have walked away from it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, bring up your son for an oila. So
there Hashem gave it a way out. There he had a way out. There Hashem said no. Hashem didn't tell him do. Hashem, there's an extra word that does not say anywhere here. It says the word no. Kach no. Nun aleph. That word means you don't have to. You're not mitzvah.
But I didn't even think of that, but I'm saying, but according to what you're saying, you know, it wasn't a do this, you know,
no.
It wasn't specific
no.
at all.
Everyone says that. He was not obligated to do it.
At all.
At all. No. Ain no elo l'shoim bakosha. Hashem didn't say you have to hear, but all the prophets, Hashem says you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. Let's begin. We'll learn a little halacha, and a little agada together. We'll focus more on the agada today. Okay, I want to finish up a few things from yesterday from the agada, and then we'll talk about Bedikas Chametz.